Outlanders went out on a mission over 700 miles to the northwest, and they found a prison containing captured soldiers from the Dragon Army that's fighting the Blues. They broke them out and brought them back. We now have dragons on our side. It didn't take long for those words to generate a loud cheer. The Newfoundlanders were well remembered by the men of the 25th, even more warmly thought of now than they had been during the mission to Promisetown. Time and distance tended to make people think more fondly of the good folks they'd left behind. So the fact that the Newfoundlanders had marched out and done something great was welcome news to the Americans. And it was good news to Smith, too. He felt a second of regret for not having been with Waller and the Bys on that mission, but he reckoned he'd see them again. For now, he wondered what the dragons were like, and if their discovery would change matters 1,000 miles to the south, in this dire place. Smith didn't have answers to those questions, but he didn't mind thinking on them for a while. After he was finished with that, he turned his mare away and rode about town for the afternoon. There wasn't much to see, but he saw it all again anyway. Chapter 1. I should be sitting with Emily. Tom Waller's objection was an increasingly familiar one, and as he muttered it, ostensibly to himself, Major Bert Miller looked up at him. The two were standing side by side on the platform at New World Station, which had been cleared of civilians and roped in to control the crowd it was soon to receive. No one else was within earshot, so the skipper decided to answer his young superior.
You sure use up a lot of the air in her room, don't you?
It was a needling question, asked in a mostly kind fashion. The skipper of the Newfoundland Regiment remembered what it was to be in love, though lately he was getting more reminders of it from his colonel than he liked. I open a window. Despite his preoccupation, the young commander of the RNR managed to quip sharply in reply to his major's observation, and Bert Miller smiled and patted Waller's shoulder.
That's thoughtful, by.
Waller managed to chuckle, though only once before sobering. It was fair to say he was spending every free moment in the hospital room of the savage-born Lady Emily, who had so recently been shot by his bastardly brother-in-law. She was recovering well. Her savage constitution, perhaps unsurprisingly, was responding quickly to the treatments of New World City's leading physicians. Her wound had been sufficiently irrigated with antibacterial solution, the bullet carefully removed with sterilized tools, and just this morning they had closed the hole in her abdomen. It was all very promising, but Waller would not be satisfied until she was back on her feet, running circles around him. Until then, he'd spend as much time as he could absorbing the air in her room.
This is the best place to be right now. Think of how happy you'll be to see the general.
Miller interrupted Waller's thoughts with that comment, and the colonel tried to admit that his major had a point. It had been a year since the Newfoundlanders had left Afghanistan, but the fine soldiers they'd learned so much from there were soon to arrive in Selkirk, part of the Empire's reinforcements in the face of the mounting Blue Man threat. And fortunately, Baldwin had not been appointed to command them. That disgraced man was now hiding on some estate in England, as far as Waller had heard. No, the general coming to the New World this morning was probably the finest fighting officer Waller had ever served under. Though, to be fair, he hadn't been through quite so many fights with Bing to be able to compare the two. A train breached the entrance of the tunnel that led back to Earth, hissing and slowing as it emerged into the morning sunshine of the new planet. The first troop train at last. And just as it puffed up the track towards the station, Waller heard boots clacking on the platform behind him.
Evelyn Hughes is making quite a fuss.
Sir Julian Byng greeted Waller with that less-than-welcome statement, and the colonel contained some choice words that would have made an excellent response. General Edwin Alderson and Colonel Curry were both with Byng, and at Waller's silence, the latter man managed to smile dryly.
Yes, we don't give a damn either. I don't think anyone will listen, but keep aware, Tom. He is a powerful foe when no actual fighting is involved.
It was a wise warning. The Newfoundlanders had made a dangerous enemy when they had embarrassed the son of a politically connected fool, who was, of course, himself an idiot. There would be no consequences in the short term, because Hughes had no credibility on the New World, but one could never assume that trouble would simply fade away. Still, it was good to tell off foolish bastards from time to time,